Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm your host, Jen Taylor. This podcast is for those of you who know that you are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through in times of conflict and in times of celebration. Please subscribe, like, leave a review, and connect with me. All the links are in the description, and I personally respond to every comment and every contact. I cannot wait to engage with you. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Naked Podcaster, at a crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm going to chat with you real quick. I'm going to send links out for my Facebook group. It's a private group where my coaching kind of extras are exclusive content. It's a Facebook page, which is Moms Running It, which is the name of my blog that I've had for 10 years. And it is the URL for the blog. Also, I just recently moved the domain to a different host and I lost every subscriber of 10 years. That's fantastic. So I'm sending that out to all of you. Make sure you do that. Today, welcome. I have Natalie Hickson on with me. Natalie, how are you?
Good, thank you. Excited to be here.
Yay. I'm so excited. You're in Bozeman, Montana. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So your all your information is in the description, the link to your freebie, any social media links that I had from you. And I love that. Your website is nataliehickson.com. So not hard, people, to get to.
Except there's an S in Hickson, that tricky little S right off the X.
Yes, that is true. It is. I'll put the links again in the comments, but it is in the description. So jump in and tell us all things nataliehickson.com.
Yeah. So I am a life coach for Christian moms who are struggling with destructive anger and burnout. So, you know, the destructive anger is, whenever I say that to people just in talking in groups or, you know, in passing, people are like, well, don't all moms need you? I'm like, well, I mean, yes, all moms get angry. but the destructive anger is the one where we're like trying to control and we're hurting our relationships with our kids or husbands or whomever. And we want to work through how can we use anger in a healthier way. So I'm coaching my moms how to, first of all, accept that anger is a natural human emotion that God gave us and that we need to learn how to use it in a positive, healthy way and not in a destructive, hurtful way.
I agree as far as every mom needs. So all of us as moms, because we're both moms, feel triggered. I think I'd have to say, I can't think of a certain person that I've ever spoken to that has not been triggered by a child or a situation with a child, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
For you, it's more about, what that level is or what that looks like or how they're dealing with it.
Yeah. And it's really helping moms. They've got to a point though, the moms that I've been working with, they've gotten to this point where they don't even want to be a mom anymore. They feel so disheartened and frustrated. They start saying, I mean, totally, we'll get into this, but totally the same things I was thinking about my life would be better off without them. And they'd be better off without me. If I just was not in this family, they would be so much happier. And it got to that point. And that's the moms that find me. That's the moms that I'm working with, helping them realize that actually your motherhood journey is beautiful and we have moments, but we can really get to this place where we recognize that the Lord made us an amazing human being. He gave us these amazing kids mm-hmm. and we are amazing moms. We just have difficult and challenging moments and we have to learn how to work through those so we can actually enjoy the good moments and be more productive during the difficult, challenging moments. And they just come in with this heart so heavy and just, I'm over it. I don't want to do this anymore. Help me. Cause I can't leave. I don't really want to leave, but I feel like I want to leave. And they leave the program that I put them through with me coaching. They leave this feeling lighthearted, like empowered. I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I see how the Lord has helped me and he changes my mind and my mindset and transforms their motherhood journey and helps them feel like I can do this. Like we've got this and they're not alone. That's the other thing, you know, How many times does the story run through our head as a mom? I'm alone. Nobody notices anything. You know, I clean the floor and they just mess it up again. Nobody cares. You know, and it's like we have to change that mindset to recognize they may not notice in the moment, and they may not notice ever, but somebody else does. And that's the Lord. And he's the one who's called you to that place. And we can take refuge and restore our relationships with our kids, our husband.
Not plural. It's not that show.
No.
We're all of our twins, respectively.
Yes. And really find peace, you know, in our journey, even when there's challenging moments. And the thing I really love is helping them recognize that, you know, they'll come to me, oh man, I blew it again. I yelled at my kiddo last night. And like, sweet, that's awesome. What did you learn from it? You know? So it's like, I'm not shaming you. We're taking the shame out of motherhood. And we're saying, you know what? There's part of guilt that we need to have as a mom. We need to have enough conviction to go back and make things right and learn from our mistakes, but we can leave it there. The rest of it, the fact that we screamed and we lost our mind and we did what we did, we need to take that to the cross, leave it there and learn from it and move on and try to continue to walk down that path of wanting to achieve better, healthier relationships with our families.
I know for me, something that worked is that, because like, you're gonna fail. Look, we're putting on
the sure.
fail. It was in the contract. You can read it, actually. You can read the contract. There's a place for that contract. And that doesn't mean that we tried to do it. That means when we do it, we remember that we have grace. And for me, I know what worked the most is admitting it. Like going to that kid and saying, look, I didn't react well in this situation. And I am really sorry. I am very human and very imperfect, trying to deal with situations that are completely unexpected. And I have my own story. I think for me, do you remember a time, Natalie, when you realized, oh, you understood your mom more because she was trying to, it may not have been good. It may not have been an okay situation, but there's a lot of grace and forgiveness that for me happened when I realized she was trying to create her story at the same time she was parenting me. And like, what a train wreck that was sometimes.
Oh, for sure. And we also will look at our kids when we do have an experience where we, you know, have maybe gone on a tirade with them and just said all the things or did things we're not especially proud of or happy that we did. And we can get so caught up in what we did that we don't recognize. First of all, we need to take it. Like I said, we need to recover, but we also get on this track of I'm ruining my kids for life. And what I tell my moms is you're not ruining your kids for life. You're teaching your kids. First of all, you're human and that we make mistakes. And if we teach our kids that they have to be perfect and we have to be perfect, then we're not helping them and we're not preparing or equipping them for the world when they are adults. We have to show our kids we make mistakes, we do things we're not proud of, we need to make it right and learn from it and continue to try to do better. And if we don't experience these mistakes, if they don't witness these mistakes and how to process these emotions and these challenges that come up, if they don't witness these things, where are they going to witness it from? They're going to witness it from things like social media where it looks perfect. You know, they're not going to learn the reality that, hey, we're human. We make mistakes. And there's this terrible, I don't know how you say it, epidemic or whatever of narcissists out there now, you know? And we're turning them out more and more when we don't teach our kids empathy and compassion. And that starts with us learning how to have more empathy and compassion. And if you are blessed and lucky enough to get to a point in your adulthood where you understand empathy, which if anybody doesn't know what that means, it's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, trying to feel how they feel. And we walk through that in a deep way, recognizing that in our kids, in our husbands, and in our past. How do we really work through forgiveness? We've got to put ourselves in, whether it was a parent or an abuser or somebody else in our past, we have to put ourselves in their shoes and try to understand what caused them to get to the point that they did what they did, right? Not excusing what they did, but recognizing they are just as hurt and broken inside as we are when we might make a mistake with our kids, right? And some people just never get the help they need to overcome some of that.
I learned, I don't know if I'll phrase this correctly. However, I learned as far as forgiveness, it's more about forgiving myself for my lack of grace towards that person than it is about forgiving the other person. Forgiving the other person feels like then it's all okay, it's all good, and what they did isn't a problem. And when you're talking about situations of like abuse or neglect or other stuff, and I worked in foster care for 15 years, you know, when you talk about parents that really cross the line, I had to learn myself that the forgiveness was more about me and less about them. And it wasn't about excusing it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to move on to trauma.
We do. We hold it. What we're doing is we're holding something against somebody else. And that other person, I mean, it may affect them if you're in a relationship, right? Where like a spouse relationship, if one of the spouses, one of some, like the husband or wife did something that hurt the other one and we're just holding it against them, you know, that's going to hurt the relationship and trying to communicate on a daily basis. But, and somebody also like a parent or something where we're not maybe in that daily grind with them, it's not hurting them necessarily for you to be not forgiving them. It's hurting yourself because you're pulling all that energy of keeping that against them. And it's wrapped up. And sometimes you don't even recognize that you're doing it. Sometimes you don't even realize that you resent this person. You might just be wrapped up and tight and frustrated and you don't know how to respond to anyone or communicate in a healthy way because there's so much of this stuff that you haven't uncovered and you haven't worked through, and it can stem back to something very, very minor that may have happened in your childhood or major, but it just was a defining moment in your life and it created this little shell and you start to self-protect and you start to cope and you have patterns and behaviors that you use to protect yourself from these things. And so there's resentment in that, there's protecting yourself in that, there's creating these patterns of this is how I cope, you know, and it can get so, I mean, you can get so deep with it, even into the place where you might have a friend or know somebody who they continually go back to the person, different person, same personality that hurts them or is not good for them. And you're just like, have you not learned yet that you don't want to date or be with these people? And it's not that they don't recognize that, it's that they don't know any other way. To find a healthy person is more scary than to go back to an abusive relationship because they don't know how to cope with someone healthy. They've already put up these patterns on how to deal with these other people. And we do this in our motherhood journey when we have littles. And I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, I was never angry until I had kids. Right.
All right. Yeah. Yes, I 100% very rarely was I. That's actually pretty. That's shocking. Okay.
That's not my story, and there's definitely a few people that I've worked with that they have more of the background I did, but many moms that I work with come and they're just like, I just wasn't angry before I had kids. I don't know. You know, the kids turned me into this monster, and I'm like, okay. Part of the thing with that is. Yes, there's stuff we have to work through. We always go back to the past. At some point, we have to go back and talk about some stuff that happened back there. But what I'm seeing really is moms have these little kiddos and they start to get to their place in 18 months, 2 years. And they're like, they learned what no means and they're starting to get a little more independent. And the simple no, don't do that, or, you know, moving them or whatever, the simple things aren't working anymore. You have to start getting to this, they start yelling. And they start recognizing that worked, that got their attention. And it just escalates from there because the kids get a little more desensitized to mom yelling or this or that. And then mom gets into more of this, I'm completely out of control. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to help this person. They go to worst case scenario so often. I mean, totally guilty of that. My child at three, one of my kids would destroy things at nap time. And she was lying to me. These two things. Where did my mind go? She's going to end up in prison. She's going to, you know, vandalize things. She's going to lie. She's going to cheat. She's going to steal. She's going to be in prison. I literally went worst case scenario. And it's like, wait a minute. let's look at what three-year-olds do. Oh, this is actually kind of normal for their behavior and age and development, you know? So it's like catching ourselves into these fear spirals, these doubt spirals, shame spirals. How do we overcome that and work through those in healthier ways? So it's more, you know, I say, yes, working with destructive anger and burnout, but what we really end up doing is we go down this road of, we've got to work through resentment. We've got to work through some past traumas that were either big or small. We have to work through recognizing how we respond and why we're responding and why somebody else is treating us a certain way. Usually always has something to do with them, not us, you know, and if we respond poorly, it's about us, not them. And there's just so much that you have to recognize and work through. Let's put it that way. It's good to recognize and work through, and it helps pull back these onion layers and release this like tight feeling that if I don't control everything, and the only way to control things is to get mad and scream and yell or be passive aggressive and not talk and all of these things, if we really get to the root of those issues, we start to relax in that, and we're able to take life in more in observation and understanding and stop before we react. And it's a really cool process. I love it. I love what I do.
You love what you do. Talking about the blog, is there a podcast?
I don't have a podcast. I put podcasts that I do on there, and I'm a little behind on that at the moment, actually. But so I try to put up I've been on many podcasts.
Okay.
You know, interviewing about the story and the things I do. And each podcast has its own little take on, you know, what we talk about, like this one. So, so I do that. I write prayers. I'll write, you know, encouragement. So I used to be on social media for this business. I have since quit since January. I'm no longer using any social media. I'm only on Instagram because I have an 18-year-old who is now allowed to have Instagram in our house, and she's going to college next year in Nashville. So I'm like, I want to know where she's at. I want to know what she's doing. Just someone check in on her and see her social media. So that's all I'm using social media for, and Pinterest for like recipes and stuff.
I don't know. I love Instagram. It's my favorite, but I love it when my kids are on there for the same reason, when they get old enough to do it. I like it. That's a different lens that you get to see them through.
Yeah.
So they know you're watching. So that's always good too. You brought up earlier something like, you know, we project, right? I call it the story we create in our minds. And like, if I don't do a good enough job, they're going to be axe murderers in prison type thing. And it's this whole story. And kids do it too. And I love recognizing, like, you're going to go to the birthday party on Saturday. Yes. But, you know, what if this happens and then this will happen and this? Oh, like there's this whole story you just created in your mind about this birthday party and it's 3 days away. I think it's really important to catch yourself when you're creating the story in your mind, and to show it to your kids. When I say that, like to all of the kids, but my 11-year-old, I'm like, that sounds like the story you're creating in your mind. So what part of that is real, and what part of, and do you know, and if that happens, why is that such a big deal? So I'm sure you deal with a lot of the story that moms are creating in their minds.
Absolutely. And you know, part of the thing that we go to is where I like to go to is, okay, is this real or is this fiction? Because first of all, let's look at the psychology of it. Our subconscious has no idea that what we're thinking isn't reality.
Right.
So when we have to be so careful about what we say, because if we continue to tell ourselves a story, our subconscious kicks into high gear. All right, this is the truth. This is what we have to aim for. We have to do all the things. So we think these way. We think this way. We do this stuff. So we prove what we're thinking to be true. So if you say, you kids are driving me crazy, I can't handle this anymore, you're going to search for all the reasons why that's true. They're loud. They're whining. They never listen to me. They're messy. You know, they don't love mom. Like they, you know, getting to this place. And I absolutely went there. Absolutely went there in the beginning of my motherhood journey. And so you get to this place, and so you're looking for all the reasons, and then everything's proving it. You're just like, yep, that's right. They don't love me. They don't like me. They don't appreciate me. They don't, you know? And so, but let's flip that. If we say, I'm an amazing mom. God created me to be who I am. He gave me these awesome kids. He wants to use me to help guide these kids. He's got a purpose for my life. He's got a purpose for their life. And I need to walk daily with him as my counselor to help me raise these kids. Even when I make a mistake, what do? I go back to him. I repent. I ask for, help me be productive in this next moment. What can I do? And then we start to see the positive things. Look at the smile on their face. Look what they accomplished and how excited they are. Look at, they want my attention. They love me. They want a hug. These are things I'm not noticing when I'm saying I'm a terrible mom and I hate my life, right? When we look at it in a different way, then we're starting to say, hey, I do see these things. Why is the gratitude thing such a big deal? You know, over the last 10 years, you've seen gratitude journals come out and people talking, whether they're, you know, secular or Christian or whatever it is, there's this big thing with gratitude. Why is it so important? Because when you're looking for the positive, you start to feel better. You start to see that you're starting to prove that life really is much better in this perspective of gratitude and thankfulness. And even in the word, I think it's Paul who talks about, you know, we should be focusing on the good, the true, the lovely, the pure. We want to keep our minds there, because when we start telling ourselves a story, the way to recognize, is this real or not, is what's going on inside. Is this creating doubt, fear, shame? Because that's never going to come from a positive place. That's never going to come from the Lord. He'll never make us feel that way, right? He'll convict us. He'll tell us, you know, hey, wait, how we're acting here, that doesn't feel good. You know, putting ourselves in the other person's shoes, bringing on the empathy, the compassion, but recognizing, you know, no, this isn't true. This is just a story I'm telling myself because I'm feeling fear, guilt, and shame. Those are things that aren't valid. That's going to try to keep me down and spiral, right? So those are kind of the things that I look at. Are we feeling afraid? Is it a valid fear? Is this fear valid because they're going to hurt themselves if they run into the street? Yeah, that's something we want to be careful of, right? But is it a valid fear that my kid's going to grow up and be an axe murderer because he just slapped his sister across the face? No, that's a story you're going to tell yourself.
Well, and God says, I have it up. So I love gratitude. I do a lot with gratitude and joy. And I have a Word document up that I just looked over and stared at it. It says, joy is an expression of God and of us. It is an orientation of the heart and mind, not a temporary feeling. Joy is not dependent on happy times, but joy can be produced amidst trial and suffering also. And that's from God said that to us. It's hard. It's hard. Let's jump back into your story. Let's go back in time and start jumping more deeply into your story, because I could just sit and talk to you for hours. So I'm going to keep myself on track. So jump back in your story for us.
Yeah. So I grew up with two parents who, they hadn't quite learned how to process anger in a healthy way, right? And both of them had interesting stories themselves, where my dad had to deal with an alcoholic father who was abusive. And I would say one of the gems of our family was my grandma, his mom. She's not perfect, but she was, you know, just one of those people we looked to, that she was just loving and kind, but yet there was this struggle. So he grew up in a slightly abusive period of time there. And my mom's side of the family, my grandparents got divorced, and my grandma, she has figured out, is a narcissist. And we figured this out together through some things, talking and just what I do. I'm total mindset, personality disorder nerd. So we look through some of this stuff, you know, and she started to piece this apart, really realize, oh my word, such crazy stories on the background, on especially her side. But so, you know, coming from the places that they came, they never were really equipped with, how do I deal with anger, right? It was explosive. It was, you know, yelling. So I grew up with yelling, door slamming, getting spaying to like these type of behaviors that were out of control, right? And scary. And, you know, I used to look back and go, ah, you know, before I worked through all my stuff, you know, be kind of angry about this, right? Be angry that my dad would do this or my mom would say this or that they would fight. It was terrifying as a child when they were fighting to me, right? I would hide under my bed with my dog and my cat, like, because it was so loud and scary. And recognizing, though, through learning more of their stories and understanding what I experienced from my dad wasn't nearly as traumatic as what he experienced from his dad. And I don't even want to know what my grandpa experienced, right? So recognizing, and I'm just going to say this, I've been reading a book called It's Not About You. Is it not about you? No, it didn't start with you. And I don't know if it's Christian or not. I haven't figured that one out. But it is so interesting, the journey of generational trauma and how that presents itself in future generations from traumatic events in the past. It's so cool. And there's a biblical part to that too, from the standpoint that the Lord says, you know, the offspring will deal with the sins of the fathers, right? It's super fascinating. Anyways, I digress. Let me get back on track.
I love that stuff, but yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up in this environment of, this is how we process anger, right? And I met my husband when we were 15 and 16. I was almost 16. And we started dating in high school and, you know, regular courtship, whatever. I definitely was more of a controlling. He's more quiet. He's more passive aggressive. Not that if you're quiet, you're passive aggressive, but this is what he grew up with, right? Just more of a, there was no conflict in his house. He never saw his parents get angry. It was a very quiet and, you know, kind of that passive aggressiveness too, or they just didn't deal with it, right? So we come to this marriage with exploding parents on this side, avoiding conflict on this side. And we put us together. Yeah. So, you know, there was issues in our dating relationship, but not enough to like break us up. We knew we were together for life. So we get married, throw the two of us in the same house, and we start having conflict, and he avoids it, and I'm screaming at him. And I'm like screaming, going, "Why aren't you yelling back at me?" He's just like, "That's just not what I do." You know, he's sitting on the couch like a dog with his tail between his legs. And here I am like just ripping into him. And I started to recognize at this point, like about a year into our marriage, in that first year of marriage, while there's something not right here, right? I didn't recognize in my childhood that this was, you know, my mom would just be like, "This is how we vent," you know. I'd like, "Mom, do you have to yell?" or whatever. "This is how we vent. This is how we talk." You know, I'm like, okay, so this is a normal thing. This is what people do, right? But when I get into my marriage and my husband doesn't yell and he doesn't have any of these strong responses or reactions back, I'm like, something's wrong with me, big time. And it started to create a fear of, maybe I should never have children. Like, I might actually hurt them. But I didn't not have children, obviously. So... but I just remember feeling that. And I thought, well, there's nothing I can do about this. This is who I am. I don't, you know, we didn't know. We went to some counseling, you know, and it was interesting because I can remember in our therapy sessions, the therapists were always like, "You two are so good for each other. Like, you're so opposite, yet you have so many strengths and you like, you're just really good for." So that's all we were hearing. We're really good for each other. Yet at home, I'm screaming at him and he's just sitting there and we're not figuring things out. So fast forward, we bring Enya, our oldest, who just turned 18, by the way. We bring her home from the hospital and things are okay until she hits about 2 years old. But I will tell you that in those early years, I had so many insecurities about me being a good mom. I wasn't angry at her yet, although I did struggle with her crying. I can remember putting her in her crib when she'd be crying and I'd look at her, I'm like, "This is the safest place for you right now." And I would leave the room for 15 minutes to just like scream in my pillow and calm down because I didn't want to hurt her. And so I do remember that in her infancy stages, in her, you know, younger years. And also when my husband would come home or my mom would come over, if she was fussy or frustrated, she instantly lit up when she saw them. So I started to take in this belief that she doesn't love me. My child does not love me. My child does not care for me. She likes everyone else but me. So that was a story I started to believe, right? So we take this into her 2-year-old years, and round two, she starts throwing more tantrums, and I start throwing tantrums back. And I'm not proud of this. And I have to disclaim this, because at some point somebody thought I was saying I was making light of child abuse, and I am 100% not. I think it's just because I say my story so often. but I got to the point where I was screaming at her. I would leave bruises on her arms, little handprints on her butt. I would shake her. I would scream at her face. It was very scary. And you could see both of us on the floor just throwing these tantrums at the same time. So, you know, her tantrums were not being helped. I was not helping them. I was adding fuel to them, and they became more and more epic as time went on, as did mine. And the Lord protected Enya by, you know, we moved next door to my parents, and my mom stayed home. She was at home all the time. So when I get to the point where I felt like something bad was really going to happen, I was like, Mom, I need you to come take Enya, or give me a break or something, because this is not, I'm in a really bad place right now. And so she did, and Enya was protected by my rage, from my rage in that, those moments, like dangerous rage, right? At that point, still, I didn't know that there's anything I could do about it. I thought this was my lot in life. I was Christian, but my prayers were like, God, why did you let me have Enya if I can't take care of her? And my husband's here saying, I want to have another kid. And I'm like, I can't have another kid if you're going to not work at home. Because he was working 12-hour days too, in construction. And I was like, because I might hurt Enya, and another kid at this point would not be a good idea. And I was also terrified that someone would find out and take him away from me, right? And so we ended up having another one. I conceded. And mind you, I started out our marriage wanting 4 kids. And so after Enya, I was like, I don't want any more kids. And he like was like, no, we need to have another one. So he did end up coming home from work. And I remember nursing her one evening, and Enya's throwing a tantrum. I'm nursing Skye, her sister, and in a room with the door shut. And I hear one of Enya's epic tantrums about bedtime, and Mike's trying to deal with it. And I'm sitting there getting more and more angry, and finally just scream at the top of my lungs for Enya to shut up. And Skye stops nursing, and she looks at me, and she's just little at this point. And she gives me this horrific face and starts crying. I'm like, something has to change. Enya needs therapy. That's what went through my brain. So we took her to therapy. And because at that point, again, I first wasn't owning that I had a problem. Like, I knew there was a problem, but I wasn't taking responsibility for it. Let's put it that way. I thought there was no hope for me, right? I'd prayed enough. I had read things. I thought I'd done enough, but I couldn't change. So Enya has to change. That way I won't get so upset. And so we did. We went to the therapy session, and she observed Enya. And then she met with Mike and I alone and said that Enya was normal kiddo for her age and development. And there was nothing that she needed to see Enya for. And it was me that she wanted to see. And it was just like, wait, what? you can't help me. Enya needs it, you know? And it's, but deep down inside, I was so grateful that finally somebody was saying, yeah, we can help you. And you were where we need to start with it. There was relief on Mike's side. My husband, I don't know if I said Mike yet, his side. And then, just the fact that someone would help me. So I went to therapy for 4 years, and it was an awesome experience. I learned a lot. It wasn't Christian. It was psychoanalysis. I think a lot of stuff that I learned in that place was what I was talking about earlier with my parents and their background and understanding, you know, where these things started to develop in our life. And I do have to put a plug in for my parents. They are amazing. They're healthy. They can interact in a healthy way. There's no fear around them. In fact, I love, and our relationship is has gotten to such a great place that my mom has actually homeschooled my three girls. Up until this year, my youngest is now in a Christian private school, but yeah, the other two are still homeschooling with my mom, and they go to her house for school. So just have to throw that out there because, you know, it sounds, I just want you to know. but whoa, what was that?
That's come a long way since you were a kid then.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think part of their growth, God just used my experience, because in therapy, she really encouraged me to like talk to my parents. And I don't do that in my coaching. I have found other ways that we can work through some things. I totally am like, that's something that the Lord has to inspire in you if you feel like you're led to do that. But I was pushed to talk to my parents, especially my mom. I was more comfortable talking deeper with stuff with her. And we had some pretty deep arguments over that experience, you know, because here's your daughter coming to you saying, I have these problems because of what you did as a parent, right? And that's defensive. Like, that's going to set up all the defenses. So I recognize like my mom having to deal with this girl going to therapy, and they don't like therapy in general just because of the generation they came from, right? You went to see a therapist or a psychologist back in my parents' day because you had a mental disorder or there was something like schizophrenia going on. It wasn't because you wanted to become a better person or work through, you know, some of these other things. And so she already had kind of a bad taste in her mouth with me going to therapy. And now I'm coming to her with these things that I'm like, you need to say sorry for this. You know? And so we worked through it. We did. And it absolutely helped our relationship, and we bonded, and she's absolutely a best friend today. But you know, those were things that I had to work through personally to continue to understand what, and I think God took me to that place so I can understand and help the people that I help today, right? But I left therapy still yelling at my kids, right? So I still had these patterns, these coping patterns and mechanisms of how to deal with things with my kids. So I'm still yelling. I still get to the point where I'll throw things or, you know, whatever, not at them, but throw things just in anger. Scary. I was still being a scary mom. Okay. And, but I was done with therapy. I was over it. And so I continued the journey, got the ball rolling on my personal development. I wasn't going to settle for where I was at. I knew I wanted to continue to figure out how to get to this place where my kids and I could have a healthy relationship. And it's worth to say that through these years that I've overcome and worked through this, I also had a narcissistic sociopath in my life, a relationship, not marriage. But there was a relationship in my life that I didn't realize, even up until the last 3 years, that had been controlling, I'd been a victim to this person, and it was a factor in a lot of how I was reacting to my kids as well. So that was an interesting part of my story that I didn't recognize was also causing this need to react to my kids in a different way. And that's a really valid point in understanding that outside relationships can affect us to a point that if we're a victim of somebody like that, and I have absolutely codependency tendencies, I was a codependent, I am an empath. And so I'm not going to get into that. You guys can go research that if you want to know more about it. But because of these things, these type of people are absolutely drawn to narcissistic personalities. And so that was also a factor going on for me in this whole developing, like, how do I overcome this anger and working through it? And so I would just say that the Lord led me on a really cool journey after therapy. I got closer to Him. I went through different things like life coaching, Christian life coaching school, where I learned how to listen, how to understand better and actually do coaching the way that I do. And then I also started to hire my own coaches. And I've had one in particular for the last 3 or 4 years who's helped me recognize and understand even more the depth of, you know, how we react to other people and how to just relate in a healthier way in general. So there's that. And then when I started coaching moms through anger, I'll tell you, the first time I started coaching moms, I was like, with anger, I'm like, who am I to do this? Who am I? You know, I
haven't. It's alive and well in all of us. Right?
Yes. And it was through coaching that I've developed even more, because there's that accountability. There's that teaching moment, right? There's that place where you're like, hey, what I'm teaching, I also need to be using, right?
Yeah.
And it's not stuff that I haven't been using. It's just, it keeps you more aware. Like, all right. And I tell my clients when they come to me, like, you're going to get upset. You're going to lose your cool. You're going to make mistakes now when you're working through me and beyond, because I still make mistakes. You're not going to arrive until you get to heaven someday. So how do we make these mistakes and recover and actually restore and build upon them in our relationships and make them learning and growing moments? So it's just this combination of different things that happened and this journey the Lord led me on to get to where I'm at today in my coaching, understanding the relationships. And I love it when I, you know, just 2 weekends ago, me and my 14-year-old, we had a moment where we're both back and forth, frustrated with each other.
Sorry, I was just trying to answer a comment. We got a comment from someone.
Oh,
I apologize.
No, you're good.
Reception, and I didn't realize I hit a button. said reception is spotty, but it's perfect for me. So I apologize. People just need to hang tight in there.
Oh no.
I love that. So can we go back and talk about, so you did therapy for 4 years and that's talk therapy, but it was very specific type of talk therapy. And then you had coaches, right? You had a life coach. Can you kind of go down? I want people to understand. I know you're being very clear about this. I think I just want to reiterate, like, yes, this is time and we're not supposed to be perfect. There is no perfect. Utopia does not exist. It's not going to happen. Like, it's not happening on this earth that we're going to be perfect. So it's never going to be like, oh, the magic wand and everything is great. I think we need to be kind to ourselves and also do things to move forward. So there was your talk therapy for 4 years and life coach. What else were you doing outside of that? Or what else helped you to get through? I think hiring a coach is like the best thing I ever did. Personally. Right. And that's why, yeah, I wanted to be a coach, because I thought, oh my gosh, if I can do half as good of a job as my coach did with me, with someone else, it's kind of like a pay it forward type thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And also it made the biggest difference to me. So go into a little bit more about that.
It is so interesting, because it wasn't until I started actually forming a program that I started to recognize that. Actually, with even that, I started working on pieces. I'm like, what helped me? What's helped me? What's helping me now? What do I feel like and prayerfully walking through, what do I feel like I need to make sure that these moms know, learn, understand, and grow? What's going to help them the best?
Right.
And so I developed this program, again, prayerfully picking out the pieces that I felt was the most important. And I'll get to some of the specifics in just a second. But what's really interesting to me is, I cleaned out my office, I don't know, a year or so after I'd created my program, and I'm looking through journals, and I just kind of breathe through, and I'm starting to see pieces of my program in these journals, and it was not something I was aware of when I was creating the program. So it was really like, I goosebumps talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's really one of those like God things, right? Like, this is what specifically was helping me. So like the trigger tracker, the freebie that I'm giving out today, right?
Yeah.
That, I can't tell you how many trigger trackers I saw. And it wasn't that I had the questions in there, but I saw the processing that was going on in my journals, walking through the questions that I've asked in the trigger tracker. So it was really neat. And I would say that coaching inspired me to dig deeper. Right? It journaling, asking questions, processing things out feels so tedious to many people, right?
Right.
But there is something scientific about us using a pencil or pen on a piece of paper and writing it out, because
so
it pulls Yeah. And what happens is we're using a different sense, right? We're using a couple different senses. And so it basically opens the door from our subconscious. Because consciously we're going to try to keep that stuff closed. We don't want to open the snake pit of past insecurities and fears and frustrations. And it's easier not to deal with those things than it is to try to face them, right? Because it just feels scary. But when you start sitting down and you start having to answer questions that you haven't been asked before, you've never thought of, you start processing it, the hole opens. Like, you can't help it. It's just, you're using too many senses and it starts to come out. And that was one thing I learned in psychoanalysis. You know, she'd have me sit there and shut my eyes and just start saying all the things that came to my mind. It was really weird and awkward. But you can do the same thing, journaling all the things that are coming to your brain without having to sit on somebody's couch, right? Because she was not, the difference between that therapy and like a coach, she was not reflecting things I was saying back to her and saying, hey, maybe we should take this in a different, you know, what does this mean for you? There was stuff like that going on, but I don't know, it just felt different than what I experienced coaching. They're more of like, okay, take that and let's change the mindset here. You know, look at it differently and do this, you know, and therapy was, well, that's interesting. What do you think about that? And I'm just like, I don't know. Tell me what to do with it, please. So I love coaching better. Cause I'm like, they actually give you some, you know, a little direction. But anyway, so things like the trigger tracker, which we can talk about if you want, but I really started to recognize that what I was doing was, first and foremost, I started spending daily time with the Lord, and that came from coaching school. That was something they didn't require, but they highly recommended. If you're going to be coaching people and you want to be used by the Lord, you have to know the Lord. You have to recognize his voice, and you have to be that element that he can be shine through you, right? And so you got to get good with him in that respect, like having that relationship with him. And so that was number one for me. And then I started to recognize that when I got upset with my kids, as I started to mature, and that was another piece, we have to recognize our emotional maturity. I was stuck at age 2 in my emotional maturity. This is why I was throwing tantrums with Enya. This is why I was treating her the way that she would treat me. If your 2-year-old's hitting you, biting you, you know, scratching you, that's what I was doing, because that's how far I got in my emotional maturity, recognizing how to deal with anger. So as I grew in my emotional maturity, I was able to go, hey, a healthy response to this is to stop, take a deep breath, think about what's going on, validate why, you know, what's going on for me. And I use an acronym. It's called sit and pray. So sit is stop, separate. I is inhale, start breathing, calm that nervous system down. 2, tune in. T, tune in. We've got that. We need to validate. It's okay that you're angry. There's nothing wrong with you having an anger emotion. You're going to have it. You can't take that away from yourself. Like, God gave that to us. You could cut your arm off before you could take anger out of your life. Okay. So accepting the fact that anger is not a sin. It's the response. It's the reaction that can turn to sin if we're not careful, right? So feeling it is not a sin. So accepting, okay, I'm angry. Anybody's going to be angry right now because their kid, they've had to tell their kid 15 times put their shoes on to get out the door and they're late, right? That's going to frustrate you. And in normal, healthy anger, you're going to have that a release of, right? You might raise your voice a bit. You might stomp your foot. You might even slam a door, okay? Those are normal responses. You're not hurting somebody with those responses unless you're directing it at the person. Slam the door in the face, scream at the child, tell them they're a terrible kid for not listening, hit them, throw something at them. Direct, it's where you're directing it. I tell moms, when you're feeling really angry and you want to yell, tell the kids, let's roar like a lion. Roar, you know, like, or just, you know, and not direct, say, mom's feeling frustrated. I'm just going to roar for a minute, you know, and it's like helping the kids see it's not about you. It's about my frustration right now that I need to deal with this. And then, you know, I always like to send up a prayer and ask for guidance, like help me be more productive so I don't hurt my kids here. And you can use this with your husband and other relationships as well. But So I started to recognize this was a response that I was starting to have. I'm tuning in, I'm breathing, I'm, you know, taking a moment, go to my room, shut the door, just calming down in that respect. And then if I did lose it, what I started to see was, you know, I have to go back and make it right with my kids. So I call this recovery in the program. Go back, say, hey, you know what? You want to take responsibility. The way to grow in your emotional maturity and to teach your children is to take responsibility for your responses, your reactions, okay, and your emotions. But you want to do this in a way that you are acknowledging and validating, okay? So you go back and you tell your kids, okay, you know what? I yelled at you and that was not okay. So please forgive me for yelling at you because that, I know, was scary and hurtful and I'm sorry. It was okay that I was angry. It wasn't okay with how I used my anger, right? So we first do that. Then we can talk to them about what they did. Even if why you were upset was a valid reason, take responsibility for your reactions first because you want to teach your kids to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you say, hey, you know, I see you were upset. I see you were frustrated. You help them put a voice to their, like, words to their emotions. Listen to them. Validate it's okay that you're upset about that. It makes sense. I get it. But we can't hit our sister because we're upset, right? The same reason I can't yell at you when I'm upset, we can't hit our sister. So let's work on not doing that, right? And then you can offer consequences. But there's, you know, an element of physical touch, a hug, a cuddle, whatever, touching the shoulder, showing them, I accept you and love you. Even though we had this mistake, this frustration, this blow up, I still love you. Right? Your reaction or what you did does not depend, like, my love does not depend on how you behave. I always love you.
Okay. So I love that your love for them doesn't depend on how they behave. They need to know that. That's
100%. If you don't want your kid to grow up and be a narcissist or have a personality disorder or something else like that, you've got to teach your kids empathy and compassion.
Yeah.
And part of, and that's this whole response that I'm teaching you, this recovery that I teach, it's based around, let's show empathy, compassion, and responsibility, right? And help our kids recognize we don't like their behavior sometimes, but that doesn't mean we don't like them, right?
Yeah.
And so that's highly important. And then praying with your kids too, if you have the moment in recovery. But yes, going back to the empathy and compassion, teaching them, you know, a lot of these personality disorders develop because kids feel like they have to earn approval from their parents, right? And if you have to earn your approval, then you're going to take that into your adult life and try to be the best of the best and put everybody down so that you can be the best in your mind so you never have to uncover an insecurity again. So we want to teach our kids it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to feel these negative emotions. Celebrate the mistakes. When you make a mistake, that's like, mom's, oh, I blew it. Sweet. That's awesome. What can we learn from that? There's nothing wrong with you for blowing it. You're going to blow it. You're going to make a mistake. You're not going to get through your motherhood journey and not affect your children in some negative way. And what you have to recognize is just like you and me in our journeys that we've grown up with and what we've had to learn to grow through, our kids have to have journeys. Our kids have to experience some of the stuff that we do to them for whatever the purposes God has for them, right? So instead of looking at it in this like, oh, I'm ruining my kids for life, we've got to take a step back and go, wait, have I been ruined for life? No, I'm still here. I'm doing okay. I had some trauma, but I'm all right, right? And our kids, they have to experience these things too. The story I told you today, I would not be here helping moms work through what I helped them work through if my mom and dad hadn't endured some of the stuff that they had to endure when they were kids, right? And then the stuff that I had to endure when I was a kid. And so we're able to look back at our past and go, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my parents' experience. I'm grateful that they've grown through it. I'm grateful for my experience that I've grown through it. And you know what else? I'm really grateful for the years that I had with the narcissistic sociopath in my life because of what I've learned and how I get to deal with that and how I get to teach every single person that I have coached. God has brought that in as a factor that we have to work through. And had I not experienced that myself, I wouldn't be who I am and how I can coach today. So it's this beautiful thing that we have to look at our journeys and our kids' journeys and be like, okay, God has a purpose here and I'm not that powerful.
Yeah. By the way, that's the case too. The other thing that I think is really important or has been important to me in parenting is there's irrational and unwarranted behavior. And you talked about, you know, there's like five main negative behaviors and you talked about some of them: anger, sadness, fear, grief, sadness, you know. So when there are rational and warranted levels of all of those negative emotions too. So parenting your kids, like I'm a voice raiser also. And just last night, my daughter's a preteen and she's getting hormonal and she interrupted me and told me I was wrong. And I'm like, that's a warning. And she interrupted me again and told me I was wrong. And I'm like, now I'm getting upset. But I like it, it's rational behavior on my part also. Yeah. And I just said, if you dislike my frustration with your behavior, the thing that needs to change is your behavior. My frustration is totally rational and completely warranted. And now you're going to have a consequence. Right. There's nothing irrational or unwarranted about my volume or frustration or, and I am explaining to you my very rational and warranted anger, frustration, whatever.
Yeah. It's that communicating.
Right. I think also it's not like you're going to be this zened out parent who is always has the perfect response, because quite often the perfect response is being angry.
Yeah, they need to see it. It's, but, you know, it's like the, if you ever heard of or studied puppies, you know, you watch puppies play and one will bite one too hard and the other one yelps. They're learning that's too hard to bite when I'm playing, right? Right. And so kids learning that, you know, where are they going to learn this when they're a child? Well, from you, they have to learn that they're, what they do and what they say are going to, you know, cause a reaction from other people.
Absolutely.
Right? And this is what anger looks like. This is what healthy frustration anger and anger looks like. I raised my voice at my youngest. I don't know, it happens, but I remember one particular time I did it and Enya was around and Shay, my youngest, she's like, stop yelling at me. It's scary or whatever. And Enya laughed. She's like, Shay, you have no idea what mom's scary looks like. Because she doesn't.
I've had that conversation. You're getting intense or stop yelling at me. I'm like, I'm getting halfway there yet, sweetheart. Like,
I know, right? There. I would love if it's okay to just take a quick moment and tell you how my relationship with Enya is today.
I would love that. And actually, we're going into wrapping things up. So I would love that. And then I want to talk about where people can find you to work with you. So just dive right into that.
Cool. I just think it's really important to hear, since he heard the worst of it, right? Enya, again, she's 18 now. I remember when I started therapy and I was working through it, you know, into it, I came home one time and I think I had blown up at her that night, and I'm putting her to bed and I grab her little hand and put it on my face and I said, Enya, we're going to work through this anger thing together. I said, I know I make mistakes and I'm sorry. And she's like, I don't know, five, maybe four or five at this point, but we're going to get through this together. We're going to grow together and we're going to, you know, it's going to be okay. And that's exactly what happened. I grew faster because I've already developed into an adult, right? But I was able to grow in my emotional maturity and my spiritual life, grow into a healthier mother and person, and able to help assist her through her stages of the different emotions and how to grow through that. And because of that, the Lord is so gracious. He's so restorative that our relationship today is beautiful, and how she deals with things, it blows my mind. Like, there's no way at 18 I could handle some of the stuff she has handled through some just different relationships and stuff like that. She does it on such a mature level, and our relationship is healthy. We can talk. We are, you know, we're getting to that stage now. You know, if you have 18 kids, I don't know how many adult kids you have, but this is my first adult child, and I'm starting to recognize we get to be friends now. Like, I still got to be mom, but we get to be friends now. And it's really cool. And she's going off to college, you know, next August, down to Tennessee, really far away from me. But I'm so excited for her and her journey. And I've told her, she knows her story. She knows the abuse she experienced from me. And I said, girlie, as you grow, as you, you know, become more independent, if stuff comes up for you, bring it back to mom. Let's talk about it. I want to take, you know, help you work through anything that may have caused some trauma that you haven't recognized yet, you know? So just being there with your kids, it's never too late. If your kids are grown up and you are listening to this and you're like, it's too late for me. It's not too late. You can start working on you and you can go back to your children. Any child's going to want their parent to come back and say, I made a mistake. I did so many things I wish I wouldn't have. And I'm sorry for that, but I'm learning and I'm growing and I just want to apologize and take responsibility for those things. And I want to be here for you if you need to talk about anything. Just opening up that communication with your kids is going to be huge and healing, that they know that you care, you recognize you made mistakes, and that you want the best for them in their experience going forward.
Mm. Yeah, I never thought I was friends with my kids when they were little. I wasn't there to be their friend. I was there to be their parent. And that can be real happy and fun and loving and like lots of things. And it's rational anger and frustration and all of that stuff. When they become adults, you're never not their parent, but it shifts in a way where then you can become friends. And that is the most exciting. Actually, I think that's a point because I knew raising kids like, I just hope I don't mess them up too badly because that's not my goal. My goal was to be a really stellar parent and I loved it and I put a lot into it and I had a lot of training and my story is different than your story. It's still, even though I think I did a really pretty good job that while they were growing up, I obviously made my quota of mistakes every day. The friendship with them when they're adults, when you can talk more openly, makes you realize that you did screw them up and you did a great job. Both of them. Right. Simultaneously, that will make sense to any parent out there. You did both. And so I've loved most of our kids. 16 out of 18 are adults now. So it's been phenomenal for me. Let's end on where people can find you. And if you have one word of wisdom or one piece of advice, you've given a ton, but if you could end on one note, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm at nataliehickson.com. That's really where you're going to find me. And you can connect with me over there, contact form, email, whatever. And you can download the trigger tracker for free. That'll walk you through, you know, starting to process these times that you've maybe lost it or frustrated about or holding shame around. And then as far as the bit of advice, I would just say that if you are a mom out there and you've thought that maybe you've never heard or thought anybody else was experiencing what you're experiencing. You're afraid you're someone's going to take your kids away because you're so angry. Maybe your husband doesn't even know how bad it is. My husband did, but maybe he doesn't even know. Reach out to somebody. You do not have to suffer alone. And there's help and there's hope and it's not too late. And it's important to talk to somebody and not just sit there and spiral because that's where the real danger is spiraling down and letting, you know, the enemy get the grip on you. So you're worth it and your kids are worth it to speak out.
Natalie, thank you so much. What an absolute pleasure to have you on today.
It was awesome. Thank you for having me.
The podcast was designed to create a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Thank you for investing your time with me. It would be amazing if you would share this episode with someone who could benefit from it. Reach out to me on any platform. You are worth it to me. Remember to subscribe, like, leave a review, and connect with me. Until next time.